Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
People try to put us to death.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
A lot of who on the show today, because we're giving away who tickets today for the concert two Saturdays from now at Citizens Bank Park. Again, if you don't win the tickets today, they are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. We'll be giving away who tickets for most of the next couple of shows that we have. And again, that includes today looking for iconic character. And we've had a lot of great answers today. All right, let's welcome in the Diddy. Ray Dittinger is with us. Of course, we go nonstop right now. And it's brought to us by Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for the price of a queen or a queen for the price of a twin, plus a free adjustable base through a Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. Don't miss. It's fun that we're talking Memorial Day. Don't miss out the best bed deal of the year. The Diddy, Ray Dittinger. How are you, Ray Dittinger?
I'm very well, fellas. How are you guys
Ray,
doing?
We're transitioning. We're moving out of the Sixers a little bit. Licking some wounds, but I'm feeling okay about that. We've got a first-place Phil's team, but we do have a right fielder that is not living up to the... Do you agree with the statement, Ray? I made the statement earlier. A lot of people jumping on me on the show. I made the statement earlier that, in my opinion, Bryce Harper is not living up to his contract. A lot of people tell me that's unfair. You with me or not?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's sitting 220. So, I mean, I'm certainly not ready to bury him.
No, nor am I.
And I'm not ready to boo him, and I'm not ready to write the thing off as a poor expenditure. I really kind of expected him. He's a very streaky guy.
Yeah.
Who tends to get off to slow starts. This is a little slower than I expected.
And a little longer, by the way. This isn't like just a little burst of not, you know, this isn't 2 or 3 weeks. A quarter of the season is done.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very good on-base percentage at .370, which is again, terrific. He has a not great slugging percentage for a slugger at .486. It's decent for a decent player. It's not great for a slugger. You can't say a slugger with a .486 slugging percentage is doing great or even doing good because he's not. And to your point, Ray, the .219 batting average is poor. Just is. So it's not my fault when I say he's not living up to the contract. Look, I'm not saying he's not creating pizzazz, people in the seats, protection for Rhys Hoskins, walks, which helps the team, which helps him get around and helps the team win some games. He's helping. But given the second biggest contract in baseball history, I would want him to help more.
I agree. I think that's fair. I mean, I'm not ready to say, oh, this is a bad signing, because I think at the time it made all the sense in the world. And I do think his career will always be kind of this way, that he's going to be a very streaky guy. And I fully expect, I don't know when, I wish I could give you a date on it, but at some point he's going to kick it in and he's going to get in a tear and he's going to start knocking balls out of that ballpark for sure. And all this stuff is going to go away. But if right now, I mean, what you're saying, it's hard to criticize.
Thank you, Ray. At 888-729-9494, Ray Dittinger brought to us by Meridian Bank. When it comes to buying a home, nobody has more ways to get you a great deal on a mortgage. Learn more at meridianbank.com. Let's talk to Brian in Feasterville. Brian, how do you weigh in on all this?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to talk about Harper a little bit.
Sure.
You know, Joe, I kind of agree with you. You know, like, he hasn't, like, stepped up, you know, for what he's getting paid. I mean, Pat Burrow did better than him and was making way less money.
Yeah. Now, listen, Pat Burrow doesn't make sliding catches like Ray that Bryce Harper made twice last night. He can't run the bases as well. Not that Harper's a speed guy, but Burrow had his deficiency. Look, to Harper's credit, and this was pointed out yesterday, it's been pointed out by Kapler and Klintak, Harper's doing all the other things he can. Teammate, hustle, defense and right, throwing the ball, catching the ball, walking, all that stuff. But he's just not hitting very well.
Agreed. I agree with you. But my point is, you know, Harper, you know, is a great player. And, you know, I got to put a little emphasis on the manager, you know, Gabe, you know, like he needs to shuffle the deck, you know, with the 3-4-5. I'm thinking maybe they push, you know, Hoskins in three, maybe Harper fourth or fifth, and then Franco in the mix just to do something. You know, if you're in a hockey league and the top line is not scoring, what's the manager do, the coach do? They shuffle the line.
Yeah, but I will say this, they're still in first. I would not do that, Brian.
I know that. I know that, and I think Gabe is, like, you know, hiding behind the scenes, and, you know, he's in first place, and he's rolling with the, you know, with the flow.
Yeah. All right, Brian, give me an iconic character.
Iconic character, the Philly Fanatic.
All right, that's a very good answer.
Ooh, nice one.
It really is. Ray, we've talked.
Really nice one.
That is good.
Yeah, John and I and James have talked through the year, and I think for the most part, we're pretty much in lockstep with preferring to say, and to this point he has been, Kapler be slow to change, not quick to change. Mm-hmm. When you have a veteran ball club, you know, you don't need to make massive sweeping changes after a day or even a week or sometimes even after a month. And I'm of the mindset that even though Harper is struggling, I would keep him in that three hole. He is still getting on base, .370 on base percentage with those walks.
Right.
I wouldn't mess with that.
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And one of the issues we had with Kapler coming into the season, based off what we saw of him last year, was one of our fears was he was going to be a guy that was just going to fiddle with the lineup every day. And we said that, you know, what he's got now is he's got a whole different deck of cards to play with, and he doesn't have to play that game. And let's just see, is he a compulsive fiddler? We'll see that, because I didn't think that was the way to go. If you got good players and you got a good lineup, just roll it out there. And to his credit, I think that's what he's done. And I know I've heard some people say, oh, look, Harper's not hitting. Franco's been hitting a lot better. Why do you got Franco so buried in the lineup? Why don't you move him up and Harper down? I wouldn't do that only because I think it sends the wrong message. I mean, he's a guy that's established his credentials over time. I think you know what he is. He's in a slump now. No one's going to deny it, but he'll hit his way out of it, and I think I'd just leave him where he is.
I agree. Let's talk to Tom in Abington. Hey, Tom.
Yo, fellas, and Lucy, how are we doing today?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
All right, so, Joe, I want to attempt to lay out here why your concern over Harper is both misplaced and asinine. Okay. And also, I'd like to tell you where your concern should be with this team. So anybody who thinks he's not living up to his contract, you just placed unrealistic expectations on the man. You know, we knew what we were getting when we got the guy, and we're getting it.
Do you expect him to hit better than .219 through a quarter of the year?
No, I don't.
You did not expect that he would hit better than .219 a quarter through the season.
I thought he'd be in the .220s at this point, and that will improve, as Mr. Ritchie has pointed out.
Of course it will, yeah.
All right, let me put it this way, Joe. Let's say your contract's up at WIP, right?
Yeah, WIP.
Oh, my bad. Pie.
Yeah.
So, okay, they say, Joe, we're going to give you five times what you made last contract, mm-hmm. Okay?
Yep.
You're going to come in now and be the best sports broadcaster in history? You're going to be Joe the Hammer the Camera, which is what they were paying for and what they're going to get.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm going to do my best. I mean, hopefully I keep doing what I hope's a good job.
Which is exactly what Bryce Harper's doing.
I understand that, but it doesn't mean. See, here's the thing, Tom. This is the part of today that's actually starting to aggravate me a little bit. Okay, to be blunt, I'm not a bad guy for saying that he's not, you know, living up to his contract. Nor am I saying he can't come out of it. I'm not saying he's not going to improve. I'm not saying the Phillies.
You're not a bad guy. You're just wrong.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Tom. How is Bryce Harper living up to his contract, given, again, the basic stats? Phillies are in first. He's hitting .219. He's got a slugging percentage below .500. He's got an on-base above .370. He's playing. He's hustling and playing good day.
It's not over yet. You're judging him in a quarter of a season. You can't make that comment until the year's over. Now, at the end of the year, if he's batting .219, sure, he didn't live up to the contract. I would go along with that. It's just too early.
All right. I mean, that's fine. I would agree with you if it was a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I think a quarter of a season is enough of a chunk you can make an evaluation.
Now, look, you're saying you'd be okay if it were 3 weeks, but it's really like 5 weeks.
Well, it's about 7 weeks.
My concern with this team is the fact that our ace can't be productive in cold weather. That's going to be an issue come playoff.
That's correct, and I pointed that out yesterday. That is a problem. If that's true, that's not good.
His game,
not at all.
Games in South Philadelphia on October 20th are and they're played at nighttime with like 8:22 starts in the World Series or 9 o'clock. It gets cold.
And so maybe they can build a dome in the next couple months. I don't know.
All right, Tom, give me an iconic character. Who do you got?
Well, I'm going to give you a fun answer because I think The Who is one of the most overrated bands in history. So let's go with Lucy's favorite type of mammal, Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed. Well, he is iconic. He played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. I mean, he at least tried out for, remember that episode, Ray? Mr. Ed trying out for Leo DeRocher?
I remember that very well.
It's a classic. All right, Ray, when you think of an iconic
character. Mr. Ed was one of my favorite. That was one of my favorite shows.
You know how they got his mouth
moved,
right?
It was so clever. No, I don't know.
Isn't it peanut butter?
Peanut butter.
Oh, is that really how they made his lips move and
that's
everything?
That's how they did it.
Oh, that's funny.
Isn't that good?
I never knew, but I love that show.
All right, Ray, we're looking for the most iconic of all iconic characters, movies, TV, books, pitch men or women or things or whatever. Anything that's a non-human character and it's iconic. What do you think's the most iconic?
So non-human, huh?
I mean, essentially, it's everything that's non-human.
Everything that's non-human.
I mean, pretty much. You're a character.
Okay, so we're not talking about...
Well, as opposed
non-human
to what?
Is not what...
Well, you can be a character. I'm saying it's not a living person. It's not Joe DeCamera. If Joe DeCamera played Frank Smith in a movie, Frank Smith's a character. Joe DeCamera's not...
But Frank's a human, whether he's playing a character
right,
or...
Right, I'm saying it's not a person that someday dies and is buried in the ground. Like, Rocky does not have... There's no burial for Rocky when he dies.
How about fictional character?
Fine, that's another way to put it.
That was the distinction I was trying to get. Okay. The first one that comes to mind to me is a fictional character. It'd be Superman.
That was said. It's a really big answer.
It's got
a shot to be a winning answer.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mike in Summerdale. Mike, you're on WIP. Michael.
Mike.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hello.
You're on the air, Mike. Go ahead.
Joe, John, nice to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Before I touch on the Phillies and the Sixers, Joe, I got to talk to you about something.
Sure.
Now, I understand it's part of your job to bring energy and enthusiasm to what you do.
I tried to.
But it's just a little too much enthusiasm for the lawnmower thing, bro.
Well, I got just remember this, Mike. I got a lot of ground to cover.
I hear you. You manscaping fool, you. Okay. Yeah, I just had to bust your chops there.
Oh, that's
a minute.
No problem.
Okay, Bryce Harper. I'm a little concerned, but not overly concerned.
That's fair.
I believe the numbers will be there at the end of the year. The thing about this is, like you were just saying, come October, if he's not, and I believe that the Phillies will win the division, and if Bryce Harper is on the upswing at that time of year, Phillies got a chance to win it all.
Oh, sure.
Okay. That's going to, he's got a ton of pressure on him right now, but wait till October. That's the whole thing with him.
Yeah, you also got to get there, and let's not take it for granted yet, but the Phillies are in a nice spot, but there's a long way to go.
Yeah, I just have confidence.
That's fair. Mike, give me an iconic character.
Can I say one thing about the Sixers?
Absolutely.
The planets, this offseason is going to be unbelievably interesting. The planets need to align for this team to go where they want to go. It's just, there's so many things that have to happen. I don't know. Anyway. Iconic character, and I'm going to go back to the golden years of television. I'm dating myself. Oh, by the way, I'll be 60 years old tomorrow.
Oh, happy almost birthday, sir.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You going to go with Ralph Cramden?
Yes, sir.
That's a great one. I was waiting for that.
Yes,
Mike,
sir.
Thanks for the phone call.
Okay, bud.
Appreciate that. Ray, the 76ers season wrapped up. It was brutal. It was an excruciating end. I think one of the big things that we wonder on the back end is, Will Ben Simmons, does he get it that he really needs that jump shot? And does Joel Embiid get it that he really needs the conditioning? You've observed a lot of athletes for a lot of years, sometimes many times up close, sometimes a little further back. your instincts on Joel and Ben. Do you think they get it, Ray? We know they want to win. We know that. Mm-hmm. Do you think they get
everybody wants to win.
What they really need to do to win?
Well, it gets back to the old Lombardi expression. Everybody has the will to win, but do you have the will to prepare?
Wow.
Everybody wants to win.
That's a good one.
I mean, everybody wants to win. Who doesn't want to win? But the question, what separates the guys that do from the guys who don't, is you have to have the will to prepare, to put in the work that allows you to win. And that's basically what you're getting down to with these two guys. I would say that I have more confidence in Embiid doing that than I do in Simmons right now.
Yeah, because we've seen him do it.
Right.
Last year. Well, and the year before that.
He
continues to improve.
And until the knee flared up near the end of the year, I think he was conditioned.
Yes.
I mean, I don't remember in February saying, wow, Joel Embiid looks out of shape. I think the knee happened. He missed a stretch of games. He came back for a little bit. He missed another stretch of
games. You
know
what? He was not, though. At the beginning of the season, I can remember some people saying, hey, he doesn't look like he's as fit as he was at the end of last year.
Yeah, that,
remember?
Listen, with him being, I do, but with him being 7'2", that may be, I mean, the basketball shape thing, maybe it just takes him longer to crank it up.
Well, every athlete in every sport takes playing the sport to get in that sport shape,
yeah.
You know, and so he can't possibly be in that sport shape when season starts. And he got into it quickly, you know, that being said, but then he got out of it a lot more quickly. Then he got into it.
And it's 2 years
and then he stayed out of it.
It's 2 years in a row it's happened, because the same thing happened last year when he banged heads with Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
Not his fault. It's just a collision. It's bad luck. He misses a stretch of games. He comes back, I think, for the third game of the postseason, if I remember right, and clearly was not in anywhere close to top shape. Now, am I to believe that he wasn't working on it in those couple weeks he was out, or it's just he worked on it as best he could and that still happened? I don't know. But, he does have – there's issues there. But so you do seem to have more doubt, Ray, on Ben Simmons, which I agree with you about, by the way.
A little bit, because I just don't know if he really – if he – everybody talks about his need to improve the offensive aspects of his game, fundamentally his shot. I mean, it's been talked about forever. And every time it's brought up to him, he seems sort of dismissive about it.
Yes.
It's sort of like, you know, I have my game and I can do my things. And look, there are a lot of things he does beautifully. I mean, he's a great defensive player. He's a terrific passer. He handles the ball extremely well. And in an open court game, he's a dynamic player. But, you'd have to be pretty blind not to see that there's certain limitations in his game. And it's certainly been brought to his attention, but every time it's brought to him, he seems sort of bored and shrugs it off. Like, you know, you don't really understand.
And that freaks me out.
I think we do.
That freaks all of us out. And I want, here's the difference could possibly be right now. He's been through enough. He's been through enough humbling to be at a new juncture in his evolution where he knows that he has to do this differently this offseason than he has previously. When he's dismissive at the press conference, giving the monosyllabic answers to what are you going to do to be better next year? Are you going to work on your shot? Is he being dismissive like he was last season where we know that he didn't get any better? Or is he being dismissive because he's like steely-eyed, committed, he knows what his role is? He knows what is set out in front of him now. He finally acknowledges, I need to get better. I don't know.
Right.
He's answering the questions the same way.
I agree.
But it's possible that internally he's got a different, like, internal monologue. Like, man, I'm sick of these questions. I'm finally going to do something about it. I know I failed at doing it last year. I don't feel like talking about this. I'm going to prove it with my actions. But me saying I'm going to do it isn't going to prove anything. Just wait until September.
I agree with you.
Like, I don't know if that's – I hope that's what he's doing.
Well, here's the thing that's also, for me, just as a fan, a little annoying. The reality is that the 76ers, from a press standpoint, the group that covers the Sixers, they're actually to Ben Simmons, something that helps him, let's say, they're not asking him every night about his non-shooting. If you really follow along closely game by game, he's not asked at the locker room after every game, why don't you shoot? So, you know, I think that he's kind of like sort of let off the hook a little bit day by day. I'm not ripping anyone. It's just what it is. When you have an end-of-season press conference and the more poignant questions and the big-picture questions are going to come, not about what happened in the third quarter of game 62, But, like, big picture, here's what was, here's where you're hoping to go, what do you think? And you get asked those types of questions. I would appreciate as a Sixers fan that he have the wherewithal to understand they're legitimate questions for legitimate reasons and give, I want to hear the, listen, I don't want him to talk out his arse and not give us a real answer. I'll just tell you the answer I want to hear. Listen, guys, here's the deal. I get it. I know what you're asking. I know what you're saying. I know what you're implying. You're implying I got to be a better shooter, and I agree. I know I'm not nearly the player that I could be and should be and will be when I get a better shot, and it is on me to get into the gym and make sure I improve for myself, my career, and my team. That's the answer we want to hear.
Wouldn't that be something?
But he doesn't say that. He doesn't give you 1/1000th of that. You know what I really respect it? And he's an athlete for a team I despise, but I think he's actually a good guy that gets it, is Dak Prescott. You guys remember when everyone got on him? It was around the middle of the year this year. There was a point, I forget who had called him out. Someone specifically called him out, and Dak Prescott was asked about it, and he said, challenge accepted. And that was his way of an athlete saying, I hear you, and I know I got to get better, and it's on me to do it. In the end, Dak Prescott's only going to be so good. He's got accuracy issues. But you know he's doing everything he can to try to improve.
And wasn't by the way, Troy Aikman?
I think it might have been. And by the way, and I know Dak Prescott wasn't the last guy standing this year, but I mean, his team won the division. He did get a little bit better, and his team won the division. And I thought, as a fan of sports, wow, that's a guy I respect the way he handled it. Challenge accepted. With Ben Simmons, you don't hear anything even close to that. And that, for me as a fan, Ray, that aggravates me.
Yeah, well, they're two very different guys that have two very different histories. You know, Dak is a guy that was not wildly recruited out of high school, went to college. There are multiple questions asked about, this guy doesn't look like a quarterback. He doesn't throw like a quarterback. He doesn't play like a quarterback. And he became a really good college player, made himself into a really good college player, made himself into a much better passer because he understood what people were saying about him, and he realized he wasn't perfect, and he worked on the things he wasn't that good at, and he made himself into a really good college player. Came to the NFL, same thing, fourth-round draft pick. Oh, this guy, maybe he's a backup. He's never going to start for you. Oh, yeah? Really? You think not? He winds up taking the job and takes the team into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think Prescott has been challenged at every step in his career, and he's always taken it personally, like, oh, yeah, I'll show you. And then he's worked at the things he needed to work at, and he's made himself a far better player. You know, Ben's been almost the opposite of that.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
You know, Ben has always been sort of the golden child, been carried on a satin pillow his whole career, to the point where when anybody does now challenge him, he sort of looks at them with wide eyes and says, how dare you?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I think it's two totally different guys and two totally different cases.
I'm with you. Let's go to the phones and talk to JB in Chestnut Hill. What's up, JB?
Yo, guys. Great show as usual.
Thanks, JB.
Joe, I 100% agree with you about, you know, living up to your contract. And this is where we part ways.
Okay.
The three highest contracts are Machado, Harper, and Trout, correct?
The three big ones that just got signed, is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess Arenado as well, but sure.
Right. So Harper signed the most team-friendly deal out of the three.
Well, can I just say one thing on that, JB? There's a little bit of a myth with that. The reality is Bryce Harper, by going for 13 years and bringing down the annual average salary, helped the Phillies avoid luxury tax. But they're going to be paying him in years 11, 12, and 13 when he's going to be a dramatically declining player.
Aren't the Mets still paying half the guys from the 80s? I mean,
deferred pay. But what I'm saying is, like, I need him to be even better than the this is supposed to be one of his better years, is my point.
Right. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So here's where I'm going to come in with some numbers and a question you posed another person. Machado, Harper, and Trout right now. Machado's had 10 more at-bats than Harper. They have Harper has two more RBIs, and Trout has a little bit better numbers. So out of the three of them, all three of them, within 5 points either way, are identical right now, currently, as the season goes.
Mm-hmm.
How he makes the team better. Because Trout's numbers are 129 at-bats, 37 hits, 25 RBIs, 9 home runs. Harper, 146 at-bats, 32 hits, 25 RBIs, 7 home runs.
Wow.
And Machado is the highest at-bats, 155, 40 hits, 23 RBIs, 9 home runs. That being said, this is how he makes the team better. Reese Hoskins in 2018 had 96 home runs, 34 home runs, and 137 hits. Right now, as you're saying, on pace, since we're doing this litmus test,
sure.
He's a quarter way in. He has 35 RBIs, 11 home runs, and 41 hits. He pays to 125 to 130 RBIs, which is a 30% increase.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
40 home runs, 30% increase, hold on, and 160 hits. Not to mention those other two guys, their teams are currently sitting in third place, and they're never getting to first place. He makes the team better. The pitching is struggling. They're still in first place. You got to let the guy work out, and I agree with, you know, at the end of the year is his real thing. He's never hit below 243 in a career. You got to trust the guy to get it. It's not just about the money and being the top dog, because guess what? Tom Brady's the best quarterback in probably the history of the NFL. Mm-hmm. He never leads the NFL statistically. He makes everyone else better. And
listen, JB, you bring up a good case, and I will say that I recognize those aspects of Harper. But second best player, I expect. Second highest paid player in baseball, I expect more. I get your point. JB, give me the iconic character you think's most iconic.
Captain James Tiberius Kirk.
Oh, ooh, Captain Kirk.
There you go. Well, let me share something with you here that'll make you feel better about the Phillies.
I feel pretty good about the Phillies, by the way.
Well,
just to be clear,
this will make you feel better even still.
Okay, good.
This was from Sunday's New York Post. They have a baseball columnist named Joel Sherman, who's pretty good, and he writes about the New York teams, but he also takes the wider view of all of baseball. Here was what he wrote on Sunday: the Phillies have a chance to win the National League East comfortably. The expectation was four teams would go nip and tuck the whole way, or at least three, or two for sure. But through Friday, there were eight National League teams above 500, and only one, the Phillies, was in the National League East.
Yeah.
He said the Phillies have plenty of flaws, including a roller coaster, good but not great season so far from Bryce Harper, which I think is fair.
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay. But their rotation is strong, and more than any other National League East team, they have the farm system and the gung-ho spirit to fix what is necessary during the season.
That's good.
Kind of interesting.
It is good. Well, yeah. And listen, if you look at the other three teams, the other three teams that matter, meaning the Marlins don't matter, all of those teams are playing below 500 outside the division.
Correct.
They beat each other up. But the reality is they've played other teams from other divisions, and they're losing to those teams.
Right.
So, no, that's good stuff, right? All right, 888-729-9494. All right, coming up, Ray's thoughts on Joe Douglas, what happens? The New York Jets today fire their general manager. There's a lot of talk that Joe Douglas maybe could be headed to the Jets to be their GM. What happens next if that occurs? We'll ask Ray. Also, Ray on Wisniewski, who they retained this week. We'll talk to Ray about all that. Joe DeCameron, John Richie, your calls as well on 94WIP. Hey, when you're hiring, you don't have time to waste. You want an efficient way to get to your shortlist of qualified candidates, and you want to do it fast. That's why you need Indeed.com. That's right, Indeed.com. Used by over 3 million businesses. Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. And when you need to hire fast, make sure you accelerate your results with sponsored jobs. New users can try for free at Indeed.com/radio. Again, that is Indeed.com/radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.